On your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for On the Pace.
Sprinter down the outside, finishing brilliantly. Look at Sprinter, he's got the right name.
But he says, ta-da on Bowtide. Some Bowtide brilliance here today. He'll go back-to-back, all right. He's making a mess of them.
Bringing you all the latest harness racing happenings from around New South Wales and across the country.
On the Pace for this Tuesday morning, and Saren Adams is our host this morning. How are you, Saren?
Very well, thanks, Paul. Good to be here.
Yeah, welcome along to the Sky Sports radio studio. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your involvement in harness racing.
Well, I started out driving in harness racing when I was 16, so about 5 years ago now. I drove for a few years, and now I'm working at Sky as the In The Gig producer, and I'm loving it.
Terrific, yeah. Always a great program, In The Gig, always great viewing, and as you said, you've had a long association with harness racing. The family's in it as well.
Yeah, that's right. My grandfather, Merv Adams, was in the golden era at Harold Park, and yes. A well-known name, and my uncle and father also did it, so it's good to be a part of it.
Fantastic. All right, well, on the pace this morning, our first guest is David Morris, who has clocked up the centuries of wins this year.
Yeah, that's right. Dave, a good friend of mine, he's finally got to the 100. Thanks for joining us, Dave.
Thank you very much, Saren, and good morning, Saren. Good morning, Paul. How are we this morning?
Very well, thank you, Dave. I know you've had trouble in the past seasons because you've been suspended late in the season. This is your first time you've gotten to the 100.
Yeah, that's correct. It's my first time making the 100. Last year I got, last season I got pretty close. So I got 87, and I think I just started getting a little bit desperate towards the end there, and just making some silly moves and doing things, you know, not being patient enough. And I ended up spending the last 6 months of the season, I got suspended 5 times, and just wasn't worth it in the end.
No, that's it. Well, this year, I'm sure, with being a new father, it's definitely helped you. Your partner, Steph, gave birth to your son, Riley, back in April.
Yeah, that's correct. It's been a been a sensational, very long and very exciting 2014-2015 season, that's for sure.
Your 100th winner was Tula Jewel at Dawn at Menangle last week.
Yeah, that's correct. Tula Jewel at Dawn, trained by Kevin Hayes. He's had the horse now for about 10 starts. He's won a couple, and we've had a couple of good placings there. She's going all right at the moment, and yeah, hopefully we can win a couple more with her.
Another highlight of your season was winning your first Group 1 on Luda and Breeders' Challenge Day.
Yeah, that's correct. Breeders' Challenge Day, Luda, trained by the police company and Daniel Nago. Daniel's taken over training the horses for Sleaze. He's been training them for about 3 months now, and he's doing a very good job.
You've had a long partnership with the Sleaze.
I have. When I first left school, when I was 15, I went and worked for Sleaze. I was there for about 12 months. Then I went back a couple of years later, and I was there for another 12 months. I had a couple of drives for them, but it's only been the last 18 months that I've actually been the stable driver for them. And haven't looked back. They've looked after me really well, that's for sure.
Dave, you're not the driver of, you're not the stable driver of any big stable, but you have a lot of support from smaller trainers.
I do. It's, all the smaller trainers always stand behind me, and they understand when I've got commitments to other people, and the week after when their horses are in, they always put me back on. So, I've got a lot of outstanding small stable trainers that always look after me.
Dave, you train with your dad, Noel, at Menangle. How many have you got in work?
At the moment, we've only got about 4 here at the moment. It's only a small stable between Dad and I, and Stephanie helps us. We usually try not to get too big with training horses. It's just too much to try and juggle between the training and the driving side of it all.
Especially with a newborn, I'm sure.
Especially with a newborn, that's for sure.
What would be the best of your four there, David?
What was that, sorry?
What would be the best of your four horses there?
Probably Batlin Boy. Mm. Batlin Boy's been, we bred him, we own him ourselves, and he's won about 8 races for us out of about 50 starts. He's just a real good trier. Every time he goes around, he tries his heart out, and always seems to pick up a check here and there. So he always pulls us out of trouble whenever we're needing money.
You've got a couple of runners, one being Battling Boy on Thursday night at Penrith.
Yes, Battling Boy, and we've also got a horse called Flying Cameron in on Thursday night, actually being driven by yourself, Sarah. We need the junior driver claim, and we thought we'd put you on and give you a bit of a go. So.
That's it. I was privileged to get the call up last night. Very excited.
When you finally answered your phone.
I suppose I better ask you, can you win on it, Sarah?
Well, we've drawn two. I don't know. The trainer knows more than I do.
Oh, I can't say too much, but put it this way, he went good last week and he's been going well at the trial. So
it's all up to the driver then, is it, Dave?
Yeah, it's all up to the driver. That's exactly right. No pressure, bud.
And just back to Luda, she's in the Group 3 Baby Bling Stakes on Saturday night. How do you think she'll go?
To be honest, I haven't really looked at the field. I'm not too sure what's in it, but, you know, Luda's a very nice horse. She's more of a mile kind of a horse. When she won that Group 1 5 weeks ago, it was over the longer distance, so I was a bit shell-shocked about that. But I suppose she was up against weaker company. This week, it's only dropped back to the mile. I'm not too sure what's in it. So, I'm sure she'll put in 110% anyway, whatever happens.
It's her first start back after that Group 1 win.
Yes, that's correct. She hasn't had a start or a trial since the Group 1, but neither had Modgen Lee from his win last week on Saturday night. So, yeah, that just goes to show that when they're not racing, if you just keep them fit and all that, they still go just as good.
Just on that, Modgen Lee won the Group 3 last Saturday night. He went super.
He went massive. He came out the gate and couldn't lead, but they went a 26-4 out the gate and sat outside the leader throughout the whole race, and he still got home in 26-8, and he's just a sensational horse.
And you're currently running fourth in the state Drivers' Premiership, Dave, behind Lauren Pinella, your cousin Robbie Morris and Todd McCarthy. That's a great feat.
Yeah, so I can't really complain about that one. I haven't really been looking too much at the table, just because, as I said last season when I was trying to get a bit too desperate and looking where I was at the time on the ladder and how many wins I had left. So, I just haven't really been focusing on it this year. I've just been more just doing my own thing and just trying to drive as good as I can.
Well, congratulations, Dave. I'm sure you'll continue on the great season. And we should mention that there's still a month to go in our premiership. Obviously, the Thoroughbred Premiership finishes in August, but we've still got a month to go. We finish in September. So the start of the new season is next September. I'm sure you've still got a few wins in you yet.
I hope so, that's for sure. And hopefully I can do the same next season.
Good luck, Dave. And congratulations on the big three. 100 winners, the Group 1, and, of course, your son, Riley.
Beautiful. Thanks very much, Sarah, and appreciate your time. See you later, Paul. Appreciate your time too.
See you later. Thanks for your time, David, and well done. It is coming up now to 18 minutes to 11 here on Sky Sports Radio. Just confirming 1267 were those numbers on Forbury Park Greyhounds, the previous. We're heading towards the third on the program there at Forbury Park, and we'll be heading across there after this break.
You're listening to Sky Sports Radio on the pace. We're joined now by John Dumasy, Harness Racing New South Wales CEO. How are you going, John?
Very well this morning, Sarah. And yourself?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for coming on to have a chat with us.
Not a problem.
First of all, we wanted to kick off with the sprint lanes in New South Wales. Tell us about these.
Well, sprint lanes are an invention of some type that certainly have appealed to many of the punters and the followers of the sport. But at the same time have detractors as well. But here in New South Wales, we've decided to take, with the establishment of these new tracks, the opportunity of placing in sprint lanes. Might as well put them there while we're constructing these tracks and see how it all pans out. But the experiment, if it is an experiment or a trial at Bathurst, certainly the first sprint lane certainly panned out very well. It was accepted by horsemen, it was accepted by punters, so therefore we're going ahead with them on the new tracks.
So Wagga and Tanworth are those new tracks that the sprint lanes are having, and you're also thinking about putting one in at Goulburn.
Yes, well, when I say construction of tracks, the Goulburn was put together by the club and the council very successfully almost a decade ago now. There was a provision of a sprint lane then, and that's why we will go ahead with it at Goulburn.
Has there been any thought of putting one in at Menangle and Newcastle?
Certainly have. We spoke to both the club, the Newcastle club, and the principal club at Tabcorp Park Menangle. Yes, they certainly provided information, and very good information, actually. The Newcastle club had a survey they put out to trainers. It was a 50-50 call on whether there should be the installation there. Menangle, whilst when I was there as the chief executive, we did an exhaustive study into performances on the track and whether there was a need for a sprint lane, and that clearly demonstrated there wasn't a need, or there wasn't a disadvantage because there wasn't a sprint lane. But when it came down to it on both those tracks, the infrastructure spend to create the sprint lanes certainly wasn't warranted as to the return. So at this stage, any contemplation of a sprint lane to those tracks has been somewhat deferred.
You mentioned that it's been accepted by the horsemen. What has been the feedback from drivers and trainers?
Yeah, well, it's about a 50-50 call, I'm afraid. So it's a difficult one. It was difficult. The board had certainly, and boards before the current Harness Racing New South Wales board had looked at this. Couldn't be decisive about it. So that's why Bathurst went ahead as the trial. Bathurst, there's no real impediment to the results. Some horses, a few horses have, and trainers and drivers have used the sprint lane with success. Others have used it without success. Some pulled to the outside, which is the custom or the tradition. But it's one of those things. It's interesting though that it has created a fair bit of discussion through the forums, the chat forums, and the social media as to the value of the sprint lanes. And to use a line from Taylor Swift, the haters hate. but we go forward as long as everyone's prepared to look at the policy and accept what we're doing, rather than some people there that have a skewed mind to this sort of stuff. Have been attacking management and board of Harness Racing New South Wales for even considering a sprint lane.
Look, I'm sure as a driver myself that in time people will come more accustomed to them, and it'll be a positive thing for the sport.
Well, it can be. I'm sure there's many odds on favourites that are beaten through the placement of those horses and the way a race turns out. And favourites, well, they are the favourites. That's because the majority of punters want to see them win. But you've got the other side of it, that if the driver has the skill to get his horse in the lead and hold that position, or manoeuvre his horse out from behind the leader and win the race, they don't want to be beaten by somebody that perhaps had that lucky run.
And what about these 12 horses fields we're having at Menangle and Newcastle?
Yeah, well, 12 horse fields, again, Harness Racing New South Wales decided to have a look at what we can do with 12 horse fields. Certainly, from our discussions with Tabcorp, 12 horses in a race is the optimum for wagering turnover. And our lifeblood is wagering turnover, and we must always pursue that. Where harness racing becomes difficult with harness racing, we can draw 10 horse fields, but we have this withdrawal. So we drop to 9 and 8, and we move a further away from that goal of 12. So whilst the numbers aren't strong across the board generally, and we may not receive the nomination to permit 12 horse fields, we certainly will attempt to do that. Menangle and Newcastle, certainly the starting configuration won't change. There will be 10 off the front, but we have a withdrawal policy, whereas there's no movement from one line to another. So if there are reserves actually drawn in those races, and on occasions there will be, certainly we may have a different starting configuration to the normal.
Well, thanks for joining us, John. Good to catch up with what's happening in New South Wales harness racing.
No, thank you, Sarah. Always a pleasure.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Sky Sports Radio at 9:09 on the pace with Sarah Adams in the studio. And Sarah, our next guest is online. It's Mark Billinger, who drove 3 Southern Cross finals winners up at Port Pirie last Saturday night.
Yes, that's right. Thanks for joining us, Mark.
Yeah, hi. How are you both?
Very well, thank you.
Good.
You had a good night with those 3 winners.
Yeah, no, it worked out really good, and celebrated a little bit afterwards.
Good to hear. The first one was in the three-year-old fillies final. You drove for Emma Stewart, a horse called Love List.
Yeah, no, she's a very nice filly, and we had a little bit of luck getting through the pack at the start because we drew the second row and found the top. And yeah, she's very confident sort of once I found the top, and she went on and won well.
She won impressively in the heat back on the 11th of July.
Yeah, she's a great filly, and Clayton's done a great job with her.
And what's the relationship you have with Emma and Clayton? Obviously, you've driven a couple for them when they come to South Australia.
Yeah, unfortunately, David Harding's off the scene due to injury at the moment. So they sent me the call up. I drove for them at Mount Gambier a year and a half ago with some success. So they gave me another opportunity.
And the second winner was one of your own, Rap Artist, in the two-year-old Colts and Geldings final.
Yeah, he's a horse that Dad and I and another close friend and owner, Richard Miller, we purchased from the sale, APG sale, which is our family, actually. It's out of a mare called Save the Corker, which we sold. So then we went and bought the foal when we found out it was a colt. So he's done it. He's come a long way. He's had a few little issues. But, yeah, really happy the way he's gone, you know, in the last couple of months.
He's had four starts for three wins and a second. What are your plans with him going forward?
There's a race here at Globe Derby in a fortnight, the Breeders' Plate. If it stands up, he'll race there. If not, he'll see the paddock and go on next season.
And, of course, the third winner in the two-year-old fillies final, Rock and Roll Magic. It was almost too easy for her, another winner for Emma Stewart.
Yeah, no, that she's a real little machine, Rock and Roll Magic. She found the top and felt tremendous the whole way around. And I think Emma and Clayton have got a real good future with that one.
Yeah, no doubt. And those Southern Cross finals, they're a great thing for South Australian racing. All Group 2s worth $60,000.
Yeah, no, we need to have these races to support our breeding and keep, you know, the young ones coming through. I found that in Adelaide we lack the stake money of the other states, so it's great that we can get some money through the juvenile racing and then, you know, we'll see what happens after they turn four. If they need to be moved on to interstate. But it's great as the young horses to earn some money back for the owners.
It's been a great season for you, this 2014-15 season. You've had 86 winners so far.
Yeah, no, it's been consistent. I drove over my 1,000th winner this year, so that was probably one of my biggest thrills. But, no, it's been consistent, and I've had some great trainers that give me support all the time.
Thanks for joining us, Mark. It was a pleasure having you on.
Thanks very much.
And congratulations.
Good on you.
Mark Billinger there joining us on the pace. Of course, that series took place up at Port Pirie on Saturday night due to a dispute between the governing body and the Globe Derby track there, Saren.
Yeah, that's right, Paul. Last Wednesday it was a big media release saying that Globe Derby were not allowing Harness Racing South Australia to use their track any longer. It was obviously a huge blow to the industry and a real concern for everyone. So they moved that meeting to Port Pirie. As far as I'm aware, it was a great success.
It looked good. It came through well on the TV, and there was some great racing, but it's a fair hike for people to have to take horses right out, especially those based in Adelaide, right up to Port Pirie.
Well, that's right, and I think it was a great incentive for Harness Racing South Australia. They actually gave every horse who raced on the night a $100 travel voucher.
I read that, yes, and that dispute has now been resolved, and we're back racing at Globe Derby.
That's right. I was chatting with CEO John Lewis, and he was saying that, the dispute has been resolved and that racing will continue on this Friday night. So it's good for the industry, and I think it's most important for the participants to be able to race it at their premier track.
That is for sure. Well, as well as that meeting, of course, we did have a big night at Redcliffe on Saturday night, and joining us online, Gareth Hall. Good morning, Gareth.
G'day, guys. How are we?
Very good.
Good, thanks, Gareth. Gareth, you couldn't stay away. I'm taking over for you for the week, but you had to come on.
I tell you what, Sarah, you're doing a stellar job. And even to get the main man of Harness Racing New South Wales, John Dulles, me quoting a Taylor Swift song, the show's just gone beyond expectation today.
That's right. Gareth, you're up at Redcliffe on Saturday night.
Yeah, it was a great night of Harness Racing. I tell you what, if you've never been to Redcliffe, it's a small track, three turns. It's an unusual circuit, but geez, it was a great atmosphere on Saturday night. They had a big crowd and some high-quality horses going around. And the standing starts, well, we can debate that for another day. the start, unfortunately, for Favourite Punch, just didn't turn out that well, with Ava Nova and Majestic Major. Well, Majestic Major basically locking wheels with Queensland's best horse and the $2 favourite, Ava Nova. So they're out of play basically from the get-go. And hallelujah for Grant Dixon, led all of the way. In fact, it breezed and did a power of work defending Jive and Cullen and five-card draw. But it was an entertaining Redcliffe Cup, to say the least, Sarah.
And the Redcliffe Oaks, Gareth, won by Moreton Plains.
Yeah, well done to the Birchip boys. Haven't they had a time of it of late, especially in Queensland, of course. The same syndicate, or most of the syndicate, that own that star three-year-old pace of Memmingate and Moreton Plains. She took a little while to get going in her career. I remember at her first ever start, she failed quite badly at Maryborough, but she's just improved and improved with racing. She took out the Vic Bread Group 1 at Melton a couple of seasons ago, and then she just led all the way at Redcliffe after drawing Barrier 1, so she was never really going to get beat after that draw, Sarah.
Gareth, you were up there for the majority of the Queensland Carnival. It was a great success, and looking forward to Perth in December.
Perth is going to be terrific. It's just going to be interesting, hopefully, after this season, the administrators, we get all this scheduling right. I think Perth, we don't know what horses are going there just yet. I think Philadelphia Man's one of the first horses booked. Menengate's going for the four-year-old series, so that'll be great with his clash with Bodine Boaz. But I think trainers like a Crandell Getty and Barry Purden will wait for after the New Zealand Cup to see how Chris and me and Sky Major pull up after those particular races. I think New South Wales will have for a reason. Ava Nova's not going to go. Grant Dixon might take one of his open class horses. And then I think Lenny the Shark's also heading that way. Gary Hall's got 13 or something ridiculous, 19 entered for the Inter-Dominion. So I think it'll be a wonderful series. And there's going to be an English horse there. I'm going to Ireland tomorrow, would you believe? And
Yes, I would believe that with you, Gareth.
With the Irish in England, winner of the Inter-Dominion. Now, these horses have been running around a 156, 155 and a half, around a half-mile track. So they probably be compared to a Cold Major or maybe a Soho High Roller in Perth. So they will be competitive, or the winner will be competitive in the Inter-Dominion. So I'm looking forward to that. It's out of two horses at the moment, an English and an Irish horse. So one of those horses will be heading to Perth for the Inter-Dominion. I think it'll be a great initiative and great promotion for the sport worldwide if that horse does turn up.
No doubt, Gareth, you'll bring us all the news from over there and keep us updated.
Looking forward to it, Sarah, looking forward to it. And the Breeders' Crown heats are heating up as well. The two-year-old boys are at Shepparton tonight in Victoria, and we've already had some run around Australasia. So I think the Breeders' Crown is going to be something else. Then we get a little bit of a breather to the QPC, and then onwards to... Well, we're going to be flat out, Sarah, aren't we, when the New Zealand Cup rolls along, then the Inter-Dominion, and then the Auckland Cup, and then every other weekend we've got Group 1 races.
Yeah, that's right, Gareth. And In the Gig will be coming back on later this month, and we're looking forward to it.
We're coming back, Sarah. I'm looking forward to that. You look show.
That's right, yes.
Organised.
You haven't seen it yet. I'm sure you'll like it.
Oh, I can't wait to turn up. And you've done all the work once again. You're a gem. I can't wait to see you, and we'll have fun.
At least we know how it works.
Yes. Now the message is out. I can't take all the credit.
Thanks for joining us, Gareth, and have fun. Gareth.
All right, I will. Bye.
See you later.
Gareth Hall there on the pace. I think he's got more frequent flyer points than I've got. I've had hot meals, I think, Sarah. But the well-travelled Gareth Hall there.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Certainly does get around.
Absolutely.